This morning's first reading is taken from Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 19, and can be found in page 894 of the Pew Bibles. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descendant, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants and prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us, because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers, we have sinned against you. The Lord God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favour of the Lord by turning away from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with your righteous acts, turn away from anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favour on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Our reading's taken from John 14. Verses 23 to 29, and you can find this on page 1082 of the Church Bibles. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Father, I pray that the word that I speak will be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Give us open ears and open hearts to receive all your goodness this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We all know that words are powerful. We know that words build us, words shape us, words mould us. We all know common words like the and be. The Huffington Post has a set of overused words that they believe is used too much in everyday conversation. And these words consist of literally, honestly, absolutely. But this and many other sources list the most overused word in the English language as awesome. How many times in the last 24 hours have you used the word awesome? Maybe once, twice, or maybe you've lost count. And I wonder what caused that feeling of awe to come over you. Awesome nowadays is kind of like the new word for good. If we use these words too much in our everyday lives, we are emptying them of its true power. If everything is great and awesome, then surely nothing is great and awesome. But we can see from Daniel's prayer, the way that he uses the words great and awesome are actually quite appropriate. And it might help to have the reading in front of you, Daniel 19. No, it's not. It's Daniel 9, verses 1 to 19. I have prepared the right sermon, I promise you. And verse 4 in Daniel chapter 9 says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. This is Daniel's prayer to God, Daniel the prophet. When Daniel prays this prayer, he and thousands of Jews have been forced from their homes. They've been taken captive and they've been made to travel 600 miles east to the city of Babylon. They've continued to face difficulties and trials. But in this prayer, there is a glimmer of hope. After all they've been through, from this reading, it's as if Daniel knows it's not the end. This is not how it's going to finish. So what gave Daniel a future and a hope? I think it's two things. Number one, I think it's because of the scriptures. And number two, I think it's because of God's character. So have a look at verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. We can see that Daniel has been reading his Bible, having his daily devotions, you might say. The New English Bible translates verse 2 as, I was reading the scriptures and reflecting. Daniel used what he's just read as a basis to form his prayers. And I think for us, it gives us great encouragement that if our prayer life has become maybe a bit absent, a bit grey, let what we read form the basis of what we pray. Let's take our cues from Scripture. Let our prayer life be based upon the truths that we read. Daniel didn't have a leather-bound Bible, and he certainly didn't have an iPad with Bible apps on it. He had the scrolls, and he must have had the scrolls of Jeremiah. So as Daniel is reading the scrolls of Jeremiah, something catches his attention. He understands that 70 years of captivity are almost over. He was reading between Jeremiah 25 and Jeremiah 29. And we know one of the most famous verses in Jeremiah, verses 10 and 11. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promises to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what the Bible does. It gives us a hope and a future. And Daniel believed in the literal fulfillment of prophecy. He realized that is exactly what God predicted would happen. It means we're going back soon. He gets his assurance from Scripture. Because of Scripture, he knows that there's a hope. Daniel, a captive in chains, knew that God was moving and working in his life to bring hope because of Scripture. Whatever hardships we face in our lives, be it relationships, finances, health, marriages, what can faith do? Faith can boast in the midst of troubles right now by saying from reading God's word, I know who God is, I know that God loves me, and I know that he's going to work all things together for my good. I'm sure in our own walk with God and from the people that we see, we can sometimes see people and experience ourselves going through tremendous hardships and trials. And you think, how can you remain so calm? How can you remain so peaceful when all these things are going on? Well, that's what faith can do. Faith believes God. Faith trusts God. We see many people in the Bible going through hardships, but they've done exactly the same thing as Daniel did. I think, friends, we should consider it a gift when God is our only option. The other thing that gave Daniel hope was God's character. There are certain things that Daniel knew from God's character that brought him comfort and assurance. I'm going to read to you verses 4 to 9. Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him, and keeps his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to the servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame, the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, both near and far in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. From this, Daniel is not just only confessing his sin, but the sin of the people. But within that, he notices the character of God. In his prayer, he knows God to be great and awesome, but he also knows God to be merciful and forgiving. God can do anything because he is great and awesome, and God can forgive anyone because of his mercy and forgiveness. And when we think of great in history, lots of people had great in their name. Herod the Great, Alexander the Great, Catherine the Great, Napoleon called himself great. Perhaps great in this context was overused slightly in comparison to our great God. What we pick up from Daniel's prayer is that we are inferior, but you, God, are great. We have failed, but you are righteous. And we're just going to briefly look at the other set of characteristics. God is merciful, and yet God has forgiveness. What a brilliant set of characteristics. It's one thing to be great and awesome, but to have mercy and forgiveness too. To those who feel far away. Daniel confesses to God, we have failed. We have been disobedient. But in that failure, he meets God's forgiveness. When our sin reaches God's sympathy, there is a renewed confidence and assurance. God can do anything. God can forgive anyone. When I look at the scriptures, and when I look at God's character, I know it's going to be okay. If we feel weak and powerless, then what a great match for God's strength. Great, awesome, mercy and forgiveness. I think one thing that is important to take note from Daniel's prayer is that Daniel was only one man. Nevertheless, he got what he asked God for. And I think that's something that we can find encouraging. Whether you've been a Christian for many, many years, or whether you've been a Christian for a short time, God answers prayer. Maybe not immediately, but friends, he does. In times of our need and in trouble, and when we have cried out to God, he hears us. So it's important to remember, never stop praying. Yes, when things are going well, but even more so when things are difficult, when we're going through difficult times. And I think sometimes the problem is we only pray a little. Perhaps we think, oh, that'll do. I've done it. Tick. No. Daniel was a faithful man in prayer because he knew God's character. He knew God was great. He knew God was awesome in the truest sense of the word. We can expect great things if we pray with the right motives and attitude. And we know that we have a time of prayer coming up for thy kingdom come, as Wendy was saying, 10 days of prayer between Ascension and Pentecost. And friends, I encourage you to think of five people. We all know five people who we can pray for. One of my five is my hairdresser. A couple of others are members of my family. What an amazing way to bring before God those people who are on our hearts. And if you're not sure who those five people can be, pray about it. It's as simple as that. Pray for God's kingdom to come, yes, in this place, yes, in our town. But what an amazing opportunity to have to be praying for 2,000 people. Wow. For me, I want to do that. And I encourage you to do that as well, because your prayers are powerful. Your prayers carry purpose and meaning. Your prayers can bring hope to a future to many, many lives. and the blessings that come to you may be greater than you imagine. So pray for those who are without Jesus this day. Prayer can unlock God's mercy for us as well as other people. Therefore, let us pray without ceasing, and may God send us blessings this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.